into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, agents. Welcome back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk to you from the after show about the episode Maveth. I'm your host, Zach Wilson, filling in Megan's in the director's chair.
Yeah.
Much like Mac is filling in Coulson's chair as he goes off on some crazy adventure. Megan is out tonight. Joyce as well, but I got Jesse Klein here.
Hey everyone, how's it going? I'm Jesse Klein. I'm filling in for Joyce. So you'll see all of my Snapchats. I'm kidding, I don't Snapchat.
We've also weirdly switched sides of the table.
We have.
In this,
I'm used to the Jessica Jones setup.
So it's okay.
So it's fine, but this is a switch. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
And I'm at that Zach Wilson. You tweeted me throughout the show. I got this up. While the ladies are away, the men shall play.
Are we playing?
I don't know. We're going to nerd out.
Okay, let's
There's
nerd
no
out.
One to contain the comic book.
We're just going to talk
nerding
about comic
out
book
now.
Nerding
So, Megan, if you're listening, control us from afar.
Please, use your mind powers.
All right. First thoughts. Jesse, what'd you think of tonight's
I thought it was episode? A solid episode. Nothing really surprised me. There was nothing that was, like, you know, I feel like last year's mid thing was pretty huge. there was a lot of death on the line, impossible death, and like weird stuff going on. So I thought it was a very solid episode. I thought it was very safe. I thought we got some really interesting stuff set up for the next the next part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this episode absolutely completed an arc.
Yeah,
that's what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does that other shows don't, and why it stands above a lot of other shows is that it manages to have two full story arcs in a season.
Yeah.
Since season two, that's the way that they've structured it. Like last year is the best example. We did the real S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, and we did the Inhumans, and they never really, while they intertwined with each other, they weren't going at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that's why the show is so satisfying, is it brings up a lot of questions, and like unlike other shows, it answers most of the questions.
Yeah.
Like, we get satisfying conclusions to story arcs in a pretty consistent way, which a lot of shows, it takes forever to get anything satisfying out of their story arcs. And I think that's why the show keeps, like, people coming back.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of stuff. Yeah, a lot of stuff to discuss, a lot of theories to discuss. Angel Marie in the chat role, she's ahead of us.
Yeah.
Because she says, who screamed Hive first, Jesse or Zach? And it was Jesse.
Yeah, it was me.
Master Hydra?
Yeah, well, I mean, when we get to it, but
yeah,
we'll get to it.
Let's start off like where we kicked off the episode with Fitz and Ward on Maveth.
Yeah,
traipsing along through the barren planet.
Yeah, I really liked the character development we got out of both of them. Fitz was awesome this episode. He was straight up. He goes for Ward's gun.
Yeah. He was it. That was a ballsy move for Fitz.
Yeah, Fitz was really cool this episode. It seemed like in the last episode, it seemed like he kind of volunteered himself without any plan or anything like that. And really, he was in there and he had like plans on top of plans. Like, he was going there for Will. He knew where Will was. Like, he jumped into Will's chamber, like, without them being able to stop him. Like, all of that kind of stuff. Like, Fitz really seemed on top of it this episode, which was really cool to see. Ward has it took, like, this weird character turn, which I wasn't really suspecting. I guess when we saw that, like, crazy Hydra statue, it kind of... It turned him a little bit, and, like, he had this purpose now.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The sculpture, the statue.
Yeah.
There's a lot that implies. Let's dig into, I guess, the planet while we talk about that. Like, the planet and Ward, because just I feel like they go hand in hand. So this planet that we is now barren.
Yeah.
For all, like, with a few weird plant creatures that you can eat.
Yeah.
The beast, whatever you want to call it, death, it.
Yeah, the thing that is...
I don't know what to call it. Whatever.
Yeah, Hive, if you want to call it Hive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hesitate to be too presumptuous, but... Not so it has not had at once had 9 cities.
Yes.
They destroyed themselves. There are ruins of cities, and there's also this ruin of the Hydra symbol.
Yeah, which I got chills when I saw that.
Yeah,
I was that, like, what is going on?
I mean, that's the thing, like, as much as we might know comic book lore and like histories and stuff, this is
off the, it's not, there's no precedent for it.
Yeah,
precedent.
Which is great as a comic book fan.
Yeah.
I love seeing new stuff. This feels like it fits while it...
Simmons.
God damn it. I heard it and then I was just like, oh, he's going to do something.
Yep.
It fits in this world, but it doesn't feel like they're reaching.
No. And I mean, the implications, I mean, we know Red Skull was looking for any leg up he could get when he was using Hydra and, like, creating Hydra in World War II. We know he was using that and looking for alien technology and any sort of technology he could get to. So presumably, he found this planet. Like, even before that, there was a Hydra around.
Yeah.
And, like, the symbol must have come... Like, the goat head symbol must have come from someone seeing that Hydra statue.
Yeah, I think... Well, yeah, because I don't think Hydra... I guess it's sort of like it hid itself and then it, like, worked its way back.
Yeah.
Because obviously that... So now we know that symbol is... And the Hydra symbol itself is ancient. And whatever this creature is, whether it's Hive or something else...
Yeah.
It is... Like, the reason that it seems like Hive is a good thing, because Hive, you can kill it and it will come back.
Yeah. Well, you've got to control the parasite itself. Madam Hydra for a long time was using Hive and Hive parasites to kind of create a Hydra army.
Yeah.
And so it really fits in with a lot of Hydra storylines that they're using this type of parasite thing. So, I mean, yeah, the implications are that this creature has been influencing Earth for years, and we've had no knowledge of it. Like, just because Hydra's been influencing Earth for years. So,
yeah.
So somehow this creature has been able to influence what's been going on here what's the earliest we know about it? The 1700s or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, far back.
Yeah.
It is fairly ancient, I guess, in where it's been. It has such a deep backstory. So the symbol is old. And the reason we started talking about this is because of what it does to Ward.
Yeah, it immediately changes him from not wanting to be on that planet to feeling like he has a purpose, to feeling like there is something that he has been working for, and this planet has gotten him closer to it. This is a guy who has, you know, his family was abusive. His friends, he feels, abandoned him even though he betrayed them. There's a guy who's been a lone gun for a while, just a murderer working for vengeance, and now he's finally got a purpose, a god he believes in.
A god? Do you think it's a god he believes in, or does he just suddenly feel like he really is a part of something? I think
I was using a god he believes in as like a quick way, but yeah. Like he finally feels like there's something bigger that he can work for. For those of you asking what Hive is, it's...
Okay, yeah, I guess let's...
It's an alien parasite creature that can split off and control multiple people at the exact same time. It's a hive mind. That's why its name is Hive. And it looks kind of octopus-y and weird. Octopus-esque? Regardless.
I like octopus-y.
Yeah, James Bond. And they're in Earth, I think it was like 667 or something like that. Madam Hydra was basically just had a giant octopus head and was putting these like octopus beans on people and controlling them. If you Google search Marvel Hive, you will find, or Bing search it, whichever one. Yahoo.
Ask Jeeves. Ask Jarvis.
You will see a lot of pictures. It's pretty easy to find out. It's creepy looking. If the creature itself looks like the Hydra symbol, if it's like a skull with a bunch of weird, because we saw one tentacle come out of it. If it's a skull with a bunch of weird tentacles, that is the scariest creature that this show has ever put forth.
I mean, I think that is really what they're... I think that's what they're building towards with that ancient, with that buried symbol. Like, that's a statue. That's a monument to whatever this creature is. And if it is, like, really, if it is a hive mind that is a parasite, you cut off one head and it will infect two people in its place.
Exactly.
That's how a parasite works. So
that's Hydra.
This is Hydra manifested in a single being, and it fits with Hive.
Yeah.
But I think what I liked about the way they played it with Ward is that it's not just that he found like something to worship, but like I think even inside Hydra, he's sort of he goes into it in this episode. Why am I here?
Yeah,
he's asking. He's having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, sure.
It ended up being not a midlife crisis,
end of life crisis.
What's my purpose in life? I don't know what I'm even doing here.
Me and Will look very similar.
But it is. It's a reasonable thing for anyone to think. It's just like, what is your purpose to be on this earth? And I think because of like everything he did with S.H.I.E.L.D. and then everything he built towards in Hydra, failing and seeing the collapse of Hydra, and then really everything he'd ever done in his life was for nothing.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it was good or bad, it didn't amount to anything. It failed.
Even the last episode, seeing that his brother wasn't thankful to him for killing his parents and stuff like that. Like all of that stuff wasn't working. I mean, it brings up the question, is Ward anymore?
By the end of this.
In next season, is he even... second half of the season, is there going to be any part of Ward left?
Well, regardless, I'm glad that we get to keep Brett Dalton around.
He's a good actor. Because
I like him as an actor. As for whether or not it is Ward, so whatever this creature is, it takes over the body. That's why Will's leg, and that was a great reveal.
Oh, such a cool reveal.
It takes over a body. It doesn't, like...
But the creature had knowledge that only Will would know.
What we've learned here is that when it takes over a body, because it doesn't just like copy, it's not like an animorph.
Yeah. God, I wish it was animorph.
Next time. Next time we can... Maybe it's the Andalites planet.
God, if it was an Andalite planet. I mean, this thing is basically a Zerg. Can we just say it?
A Yurk?
Is a Yurk?
Yurk. It's with a Y.
Oh.
Either way.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Visser 3.
When it takes over this body, it also takes over the mind.
Yeah.
And the brain has physical memories. Memories are stored in physical form. Like, that's why whenever I see, like, in sci-fi, when people mind swap, I'm like, they swap, like, souls, I guess, but, like, the memories would be the same. You don't get to keep them. So he would have full access to everything that Ward is and was and...
At least some of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's physical form, but, like, you have to know the pathways, basically.
Yeah, like, but in theory, if it, depending on how advanced it is at this thing, it was advanced enough with Will, and granted it had time with Will and not much else to do.
It was just asleep in that bunker.
Yeah.
What was it doing in there?
Maybe it was working its way through those neural pathways.
Yeah, just taking a nap. You're a death god, just take a nap.
I mean, well, I guess it depends on what the hive does. Like, does it need to stretch its legs? Like, if Will's was really the last person on that planet, maybe there's just nothing to do, so it's just gonna chill here.
Yeah, just be in this cool bunker.
It's like, at least I don't have sand out here and getting my tentacles.
Yeah.
But at this point, I guess it's taken over Ward's body, so I think it will act on Ward's wants to a certain degree, because memories also feed emotion. And while it's an alien, so it's not going to have the same emotion, I think it will absolutely like feed what it's going to do.
Yeah,
in a way, like it's going to come to Earth with a hatred for S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe even a love for Daisy.
Okay, yeah.
A lack of desire to hurt the members of our team that Ward didn't want to hurt.
Yeah. That's interesting. I feel like it's less... I would really like it to be like it's not Ward at all.
Okay.
I feel like it's more interesting if it's a completely new character...
That just has access to his memories.
That just has access to his memories, and then maybe halfway through it realizes that Ward is still influencing it. Like, it completely acts differently than Ward, but then there's a part where, like, it can kill Daisy, and then it realizes it can't, because it's still got a piece of Ward as a part of it. You know what I'm saying? I think that's, like, a more interesting part of the... Like, it would be a more interesting story.
Yeah. It could be cool. I mean, it could go either way. I think either way, you're gonna have Ward's memories in play. I would love the show to take a big turn.
Yeah.
And I think part of that big turn is going to be paying off what they've been teasing with us with since the summer, which is Secret Warriors.
Yes.
Because this was the episode where we really saw Secret Warriors start to happen.
Oh my god, so cool.
when
Joey melted the bullets, I was like, this is legit. Like,
I mean, when he melted the bars, so they could go into the sewer grate. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, this is, like, those four people.
Yeah.
All with their own superpowers. Quake with her powers.
Lincoln
with his electricity powers, Joey with his melt-em-alls, and May, just May.
that part where it was like, you don't feel like you belong here, you're not a hero, you don't think you can do anything. It's pretty much what we're all thinking.
Not me.
Not me.
Okay, not May, but the rest of us. No, it's great. And, like, this is... The whole thing since the end of last season was... Daisy's gonna get to. I was like, Sky, when that happened, it takes a moment. She is being given like a team. Like, gonna assemble a team.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think with Mac kind of getting an upgrade, and Daisy getting like an upgrade as well. Like, I feel like both of them are. Like, getting leadership positions in S.H.I.E.L.D. And so, like, I think that's going to lead to, like, Daisy getting her Secret Warriors.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, I think that's what this next part of the season's going to be about, is Hydra. Now they've got this superhuman, they almost foreshadowed it where... where Ward is talking about, you got to adapt, you got to change with the times. Like, you know, you hear about these Inhumans, like, they're these people with powers. I don't like it, but it's the way it's going. And Ward's way of adapting ended up being getting killed, and now he has superpowers because he's got a secret alien in his brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a secret alien in his brain.
Secret alien in his brain.
Hashtag secret alien.
Hashtag secret alien.
Or hashtag secret alien in the brain. Yeah. It's a little long, but it's funny.
Work on it, Cypress Hill.
Yeah, and as they put it, the Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah, the Power Rangers.
But what I loved about that sequence was that, like, they were all using the different skill sets to be effective on a mission.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Seeing, like, Joey melt the grate, and then Lincoln being like, I got the power grid. And, like, you know, Daisy took out some thugs. Lincoln killed, we finally got a name for him, Guerra.
Mr. Guerra.
Yeah.
AKA Iron Chef Telekinesis.
Iron Chef. Not telepathy. I think it was all really satisfying to see that. I think we could have used, like, more Joey earlier on, just because it felt like he kind of came out of nowhere these last two episodes. But other than that, it's been really cool kind of seeing them build to this moment with the Secret Warriors.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we've been dying for since we got the reveal of Quake.
Yeah. I mean, ever since we knew it was Quake, it was like, we need those gloves. And then it was like, then we need some Secret Warriors. And we definitely need we need Ares and his son, Phobos, to be a part of this world.
Yes. Somebody get Phobos in here. With this team, this is a good point that Charlie Barajas makes.
Yeah.
Joey is confirmed as the first homosexual superhero in the Marvel Universe.
As far as TV Universe.
TV, was there someone...
Or in the comic books.
In the MCU.
Yes.
In the MCU.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that's cool because they're spotlighting him. He is not... At first, we thought he would just be like an interesting one-off character that would sort of sit around, and then we might lose, or he could just be in the background. But no, he's clearly going to be becoming part of the gang.
Yeah.
I like his character so far.
Me too. And that's the thing about Marvel, is that they've always been very forward as far as... kind of inclusive with the other. X-Men originally was, we were talking about this with Jessica Jones, but X-Men was originally kind of a parallel for race relations. You know, Professor X kind of paralleled a lot of what Martin Luther King believed in, and Magneto paralleled a little bit of what, like, Malcolm X represented. And as X-Men have evolved, as so has our country, at least a little bit, and they've become a parallel for gay and bi and whatever you want to call it. There's so many, like, I don't want to misspeak on whatever, like,
LGBT,
the rest of it. They've kind of become that parallel, and I think Marvel, I mean, let's see, Iceman is gay.
One of them.
Past Iceman is gay.
But
Hulkling, Wiccan, there are a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, the MCU, the Marvel Comics have always been good about driving forward the minorities and giving them stories to, like, giving words and stories to the people who don't usually get stories. And it's good to see that the, like, I don't think we need to go on about this, but, like, it's good to see that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is doing the same.
Yeah.
That's the thing. This is becoming. I recently had to talk to people about, like, what is the best, like, comic book show? And Agents of Shield, there are shows that may have better quality in terms of, like, things like cinematography, directing, even writing in some cases, within the Marvel Universe. But Shield to me is the most comic book, true to comic books show. Not true to a specific book, but like this is watching a comic book on my television
set. Very much is. And yeah. The voice of this show matches the voice that Marvel is kind of going for right now.
Yeah.
And it's so it's very easy. Like, I think if you are a S.H.I.E.L.D. watcher, you're like, oh, I would like to read comic books. I think it's an easy transition into that. And if you're a comic book person, you're like, oh, man, should I watch S.H.I.E.L.D.? It's easy to transition. Why aren't you watching S.H.I.E.L.D.? But also, it's easy to transition into that.
Yeah. But one thing on Joey, I mean, to sum up, Joey is a good character. I'm looking forward to it. Ivan Soto in the chat role says Joey's code name, Melting Point.
Yeah.
Good or bad?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking he could, depending on his power, he could be Metal, which is a character. Although he doesn't have any, like, melting powers. He just is a metal person. So probably not. Or, like, Mercury. Like, these... There's no one really with his specific power set in the Marvel Universe.
To me, he reads as an original, and I'm more than fine with that.
Oh, yeah, same here. Yeah, I think he's a great... I think he's a great original. I think because they're using Inhumans, there's a lot of opportunity to just come up with original characters. And the Inhuman power set is so weird and varied that it goes from someone who, you know, whenever they speak, they create destruction around them, or someone who has really strong hair that they control.
Yeah.
Like, these are... like, it's... Or someone is a doorway. Like, then humans allow you to kind of create interesting original characters that you can just put in the show.
Yeah, I mean, the cocoon offers you a big opportunity to transform people.
Yeah.
Even more so, I think, than... but anyway. But speaking of Inhumans, Lash is back.
Lash is back.
And this was to me one of the things I really liked about this episode. Before we get into like some of the stuff that we sort of felt missed the mark, and we will. But this there's one line that just like it fixed Lash, in my mind, because I was concerned about where he was going to go, where this character was building between they built this divide of Andrew and Lash as two separate people and two separate motivations. Is he good? Is Lash bad? But they cleared it up here with one line of dialogue.
Know exactly where he goes.
And we may disagree about the Inhumans, but we both hate Hydra.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Done.
Andrew, in Andrew form, still feels the same way that Inhumans should die.
Yeah, and also May even said was like, Andrew Lash, I don't even know if there's a difference anymore. So for me, that's it. Solid. Lash wants to kill Inhumans and clearly does not care about whether or not they're a threat or not or anything like that. Went into these containment units and just straight up murdered them.
Yeah.
Like,
Cold
blood, body parts everywhere. It was really gross and slimy. And like a really good way to kind of set up the horror aspects of Lash. I think it's interesting. I'm interested to see where he goes further on. But if Hydra is Hive, it makes sense. Because I was the entire time I was thinking, like, why are the Inhumans just going to follow whatever this creature is that comes out of the portal? And it's like, they won't follow it. It will infect them, and they will be mind-controlled and have to do whatever the thing is that comes out wants them to do. That's why they were building this army. It's because they wanted a powerful army of these Inhumans to kind of give to this mind-controlling thing. So I think it'll be interesting going on seeing where Lash fits in. Is he just going to show up every once in a while and, like, kill an Inhuman? Or are they going to go hunting for him?
I mean, he may disappear for a little while.
Yeah.
Who knows? I can't imagine we're not going to eventually get a Hive asterisk. Hive versus... Lash.
Yeah.
They both have big tentacles on their heads.
A lot of tentacles going out.
And then Medusa comes in, and it's just a hair battle.
Yeah, battle hair.
Oh my god. But yeah, so before we get a little bit more into this story, talk about Bobby, Mac, Hunter,
sure.
Some more about just the structure of this episode, Coulson, and like having to go doing what he did.
Yeah.
I want to give some shout outs to the iTunes reviewers, because you guys are amazing.
The best.
Truly amazing. And I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to go north of the border.
What?
Because somebody tweeted me.
Canada?
A Canadian review. And that's how you can do it. If you guys are international, we love our international fans.
Yeah.
Because that still blows my mind that there are people around the world listening to us.
Yeah, we got someone from Belgium, someone from a couple people from Brazil.
Yeah,
let us know that they were there.
And it's hard for us to check
Australia.
It's hard for us to check all the different iTunes to know that the reviews are there first, and then it's also just complicated to view
them. Yeah.
So the best way that you can let us know that you reviewed the show, send us a tweet. Just take a screen grab and tweet it at us. And Kaylee Rose did. She said, "I blame this podcast for turning me into a Marvel nerd. I've been tuning into this after show since season one and love it. My favorite group of AfterBuzz hosts. I blame Zach for turning me into a comic book reading nerd."
What a high compliment.
I know. Yeah. I feel like I'm so proud to have done that to somebody.
Yeah, that's...
I apologize to your bank account,
yeah,
but...
it's an expensive hobby.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. Also, my unborn child will undoubtedly recognize your voices. Thanks for the great insights.
That is sweet.
Yeah, that's sweet, definitely. but yeah, and then stateside, we got a... Coulson's New Squeeze left us a review.
Okay.
Dear Phil Coulson's left hand, I know you have trouble moving on these days, but you seriously need to move on.
Huh.
Or I know you have trouble moving these days, but you seriously need to move on. Your relationship with my Coulson was given the axe months ago. I know you've lost your grip on reality, but he's with me now, okay? Well,
not anymore.
I was there in his time of need to give him a hand after you left him. You just need to get yourself a manicure and let your fingers do the walking. Yeah. There are plenty of wrists in the sea, but Coulson's is mine. Or was.
Was.
Sorry, Coulson's New Squeeze, but your last squeeze was another man's heart.
And it's now with the enemy.
Yeah.
He had it with him when he appeared.
He did.
Yeah.
Wiggly Jiggly Giggles says, thanks for your content. I have to read the name.
No, that's a great name.
I enjoy listening to the podcast weekly on my morning commute. And then Phil Coulson's left hand is here.
Thank you.
It's a long one, but totally worth it. Oh, this is a long one. But I feel like Phil Coulson's left hand has earned this.
Yeah.
It is I, Phil Coulson's left hand, and I have three things I want to say. They are epic things, so I need them to be read aloud in your most epicest, because epicest is totally a word, voice. Here we go. I'm like 95% sure the real reason Phil dive-bombed off that Quinjet and into the portal was to get away from me. I mean, seriously, Phil, I know you don't like me. You had me shoved in a glass box, stuffed me in a science lab with the nerds, but going to another planet is taking it a little far, don't you think? I can open ketchup packets. If you noticed in the beginning of the episode when Coulsaland dinner was taking place, and yes, that ship name, according to Constance Zimmer, Phil can't open his ketchup because that stupid replacement.
Aww.
Well, this is just a public service announcement. I can open ketchup packets. And this is the real kicker. Phil Coulson's prosthetic hand or his new squeeze.
Yeah.
Phil Coulson's prosthetic hand has its own MCU Wikia page.
I'm going to have to look it up.
I have to look at that.
Yeah.
This is an injustice. Someone better make me a page soon, or I'll... Well, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll be bad. It'll be bad if you're still reading this and haven't stopped because you're already running late on time, which we kind of are.
Yeah.
Kudos. If you're not still reading this, then I'm shouting into the void or the alien portal. You know, whatever works.
Sure.
Thank you, Phil Coulson's left hand. And then the next review, the last one,
yeah,
is at Phil Coulson's left hand from Dingo Photo. You're not needed. He does better without you. You were dead weight. Whoa. Now he has that cool black hand, so you're just sad. He can still clap. Can you? No! Ha! Go find a glove to hide in. Signed, the right hand.
Whoa.
There's a lot of blows.
There's some beef.
There's
beef.
Three hands fighting right now,
yeah,
and not the one that we're waiting for with Iron Fist.
Yeah. It's just three different hands.
You guys are amazing. Keep those reviews coming. If Phil Coulson's feet want to get in the action, they can leave us a review as well.
For those of you playing the drinking game where you drink every time we say,
All right.
You're welcome.
It's cruel. All right. So let's get back in before we run out of time. So Bobby Mack and Hunter during this whole thing, like, they storm the castle, get inside, as we talked about with Team Power Ranger.
Yeah. Mack was awesome this episode, by the way.
Like, Mack really came into his own.
Yeah,
here.
Like, really good director skills, like, took over. It was really cool to see. It was really cool to see that type of character development for Mack, especially, like, thinking back over last season where it was like, is Mack part of Hydra? What is he doing? Like, when he and Bobby, we didn't know what part of...
Yeah.
Like they've both had a really good character arc. Bobby also had some awesome moments where it was like, we need to take out about a dozen Hydra in there. We need to do it quiet. And she was like, on it. And then just left. Like, didn't even wait for Mack or a Hunter to help her. She was like, okay, bye, and just went and took care of it.
Yeah.
Like, Bobby, there wasn't a lot of Bobby, but what we got was cool Bobby.
You know what I really observed in this episode? Because it took, like, I know, we've talked about it before, but I really noticed it here, is that when they're just like, well, we got to take out these 12 Hydra agents, and we got to do it quietly, Bobby just walks out and is like, I got it. Don't even think about it. And the guys are just like, she's got it.
Yeah.
What that says about the way that this show and these characters have really moved, there is no question that this woman is going to just go in there and take out all these agents.
Yeah.
It is not even a second thought.
Mm-mm.
Not because she has superpowers or anything. She's just a badass. And I think that says a lot about the way they've written her character, how strong she is. We've seen her be vulnerable, too.
Yeah.
We've seen Mockingbird in very vulnerable positions. We've seen her tortured. We've seen her dealing with the torture after the fact.
Broken
and struggling.
From it, yeah.
But even with that information, it never feels like she is ever weak.
Yeah.
And in this moment, they're just like, yeah, she's got it.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it already, but I think that's why this show works well, is like, it's got two Asian characters as leads. It's got African American. It's got, it's now got a gay guy who's going to be part of the show, but it never feels like, you know, like Burger King Kids, where it's like, we've got a kid in a wheelchair, we've got a black kid, we've got a redhead. Like, it never feels like they're like forcing it on us, or like any of those like commercials where it's like, look how diverse everything is.
Yeah.
Like, this is just a secret agent group, and yes, a lot of them happen to be women. Some of them are minorities. No one's going to go out and talk about it or, like, point it out. It just is, and that's it, and it's not, like, thrown in your face. And because of that, it's extremely progressive, because instead of it being like, look how good we are, it's just like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to just do stories where these people kick ass, and there's going to be a squid monster and a dead guy's brain, and people are going to be going through portals.
Yep.
There's going to be a Tatooine reference that both of us laughed way too hard at.
Yeah, we kind of got looks from the people around us, like, why are
these guys?
Why are these guys standing? Because
there was
laughing.
A Star Wars reference, you guys.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Tatooine thing, Coulson. Yeah. Or oh wait, we got to talk about the. Well, we'll get back. We'll come back to the end.
Okay.
Let's talk about Coulson first.
Roz, heartbreaking,
hallucinating Roz, and then waking up next to a skull.
Yeah, that's the worst switcheroo.
Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough to watch, but it's like it's also a reminder of Coulson, just what he's dealing with.
Yeah.
Although Coulson's storyline, I think, is where we both had some issues with this episode.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be too negative, but I want to make sure that we address this because this show is, for the most part, so spot on with like character motivations,
yeah,
and never feeling like they're holding back. Never feels slow or like they're intentionally waiting on something
or using a MacGuffin or a character almost never acts out of character to sacrifice story.
Yeah,
which gets annoying on a lot of shows where it's like that character would never act like that except to progress the story, which they're trying to get to.
Yeah. But Coulson did that in this episode when he didn't shoot Ward.
It felt like by the time that they got to the spot that they were at where he did kill Ward, it felt like he could have killed Ward a long time ago. He was using Ward to track Fitz and find Fitz. Coulson sees Fitz on his viewfinder. Done.
Like, yeah.
Now you don't need Ward anymore.
Like the reason that I say even before that though is that Coulson was in such a rage, and maybe getting knocked unconscious sort of calmed him down.
Yeah.
But he was in such a rage to the point of jumping out of an airplane, or jumping out of a helicopter, a Quinjet.
Yeah, Quinjet.
I'm like, he's not jumping out of a helicopter. But he jumped out of a Quinjet through a portal.
With like little plans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm willing to grant that knocking him unconscious calmed him down to the point where he's not just going to run up and the first chance he gets, shoot him in the face.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that he didn't.
As was I. I thought that would have been actually amazing if Ward's death was unceremonious. Like, there was nothing. Like, it was just like he got killed like a random, like, Hydra agent did.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been huge if it was just like, oh, yeah, you're dead too.
Yeah. And I mean, but as the story progressed, Grant Ward did die. Whatever happens to the Grant Ward body is a different story, but Grant Ward
is dead. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to... This show's too smart to like pull some reviving him nonsense. Brett Dalton will be around for a while.
Yeah, but Grant Ward as we know him is gone.
Yes.
He got his chest compressed. Just crushed.
Yeah, I mean, like, when he's on the ground, I kind of expected Coulson to just leave him there.
I thought leaving him there was also going to be the thing that happens.
And then it was going to be Ward like either getting taken over by death, like, as the sacrifice. Like,
yeah.
With a similar result, but, like, this... So they could have had the same result without this dark moment, but I liked it from Coulson.
I liked the dark moment from Coulson, too. I think it's... I like that the show kind of reminds us that these people are super spies, and that... For them, killing is a much more, like, a more natural option than it would be for other characters in other shows. Like, part of their job is they have to kill people.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good reminder. And that Coulson also is not necessarily, like, the most light character. You know, like, there's darkness to him as well.
Yeah, and I like that. And this is we don't get a lot of that from him though. He's been a light character for most of this series. Even when he's going a little nuts, he's still positive.
Yeah.
He's still a positive character. This was a big negative move. He murdered someone not in cold blood necessarily, but like he murdered he killed an unarmed man at that point.
Yeah, who was until then like his prisoner for the most part.
Yeah,
and. Out, like, knocked out, like could have just left him, which I thought he was going to do.
Coulson's hand is in the chat.
What?
Apparently. Coulson's hand says, very, very, very dead, and it is good that way.
Yeah.
We don't know which one of the Coulson's hands this is, though. Could be any of the three.
Yeah.
And Col- here's the other thing that I was confused about. Why did Coulson leave his robotic hand behind?
I think it was a symbolic gesture. I think because Roz always kind of gave him guff about it and, like, you know, would fix his tie for him because he couldn't do it with his robotic hand. I think it was a symbolic gesture. It was him being like, I'm done with you. Like, it's over. Like, what I needed is done, and it's over. So he took off the left hand. Would very easily, by the way. He just popped it off.
Well, but, I mean, it's obviously he can do that.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm like, but why would you leave your hand? Is because they didn't know that the team was going to be able to have taken over the castle. They're optimistic.
Yeah.
But they very easily could have come back through that portal into a room full of Hydra. In which case, you kind of might want that robot hand.
For sure. I think it was, I think for him at the time, the symbol is, I mean, they took their time getting to that portal. We were like, run! Run to the portal! And Ward's dead, just run!
And apparently it stayed, did it stay open long enough for
Ward to get through?
Ward to get through, is that what we're assuming?
I think that's the only way we can, if somehow Ward got through a different way, then this entire part of the arc was kind of useless. Like, if that creature could have gotten through a different way, then why did they need to send a team through, like, all... So we have to assume that the portal stayed open longer than we thought it was going to.
Yeah, maybe even because of being blown up, if it's a frequency thing, it may have, like, extended that
or something like that.
I'm willing to believe that it made it through before it closed, because I'll bet you as soon as Coulson and Fitz, I think the reason, like, because you talked about, like, it felt, the time felt a little weird with, like, how they got to,
the timing was very weird, because that chamber that they went back up to the bus in was outside in the tents, not anywhere near where the chamber where the portal is. So they had to have gone back into the sewers and popped out and gotten into that chamber with enough time while May is firing the missiles. So there's, like, a weird time discrepancy there. And that was very odd for me, where it was like, no, she's firing on them, and that was outside. Like, that was nowhere near their chamber, the thing that Lash was inside of.
Yeah. And that's, so I'm assuming we just sort of, like, jumped over a few of the moments there.
Yeah. Just for timing, probably.
Yeah, just for editing's sake. Like, yeah. I mean, it was already, like, it was the full hour. So
yeah.
I think they ran out of there. And in that time, because they probably just ran, didn't look back, that was when, maybe I'll just call it Maveth.
Yeah, sure.
No, but that's the name of the planet, so that's confusing.
Just Death or the Thing.
The Thing.
Yeah.
When Thing Ward, whatever, got through the portal, is because they just had to run.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this building's getting blown up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that thing had to... I mean, also, that thing... Ward's body was far away from Will's body. So that thing had to crawl out of Will's body.
Yeah, but we don't know how fast... We don't know how fast it can move. Yeah. I think it's fair to assume that it can move fast.
Sure.
Maybe it can only take over dead bodies.
I think that might be...
Yeah, just that thought popped in my head.
Yeah, I think that's definitely why... I was thinking that's why the Hydra symbol is a skull with tentacles coming out of it. Because that's, like, it's taking over a dead body with the tentacles kind of wriggling out from underneath. It might not look like a skull with tentacles. It might be just, like, a tentacle beast that has a skull
that
on.
Has the
that's wearing
over.
A skull as a hat.
Yeah.
Hat skull.
A skull as a hat.
Yeah.
Almost a skull cap.
Yeah, a skull cap.
Will.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Happy Hanukkah. Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, that's the episode. Do you have any other final thoughts on the episode itself?
Like I said it before, this felt very safe. I'm excited for where it can go. I'm excited about the new warrior, or the secret warriors, not new warriors.
No, it's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I'm excited about the secret warriors. I'm really excited to see, like, how their training and, like, transitioning is going to be. I'm wondering if it's going to be a time skip, like they've done before, if the next part of the season is going to be like after Lincoln and Joey have been training for a while.
Yeah, I'm assuming we're going to get a time jump.
Yeah.
I think Lincoln and Joey are going to be really trained up at that point. I think we'll probably even just jump into having one or two more people on that team.
Yeah.
By the time we come back.
So you think they'll just added characters?
Yeah.
Yo-yo.
Yes. We talked about her casting last week.
Yeah.
I think absolutely we come back. Maybe we do a recruiting episode, but I would say there's a very good chance that we just come in and we have characters.
Yeah.
That's the speed of this show. Like, yeah. Why waste time recruiting when you can just give us these characters?
That'd be pretty cool.
The way that the episode ended with everyone getting reunited, everyone's gonna be in like a bit of a darker place.
Yeah.
We saw May and Coulson, so the Philinda fans are going nuts.
Oh, yeah, a lot of hugs at the end of this episode.
Yeah, and one sensual kiss.
One very sensual nose-rubbing kiss.
Yeah.
By Daisy and Lincoln.
Daisy and Lincoln. Electric Daisy?
Electric Daisy, I like that. Sounds like a fun bar.
Or like a really happy 70s band.
Yeah, the Electric Daisy Dance Company.
Yeah, I'm calling them Electric Daisy.
I'm cool with
I'm
that.
Sure the internet already has some ship names for them.
Sure.
I think we talked about Lazy the last Lazy. Time. If we're being lazy about our ship names.
Sure.
They're just called Lazy. All right. With that, I want to get into some news and gossip, if we could.
AfterBuzz TV News.
There's some big stuff to discuss this week.
A lot going on.
First, do you want to talk about this? You know what? This thing's quicker.
Yeah.
Because people in the chat room were saying, like, I wonder what of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to tie into Civil War? Because that's going to be the big half of this half season.
Yeah.
Is going to be building towards Civil War. And that's why Secret Wars, I think, is going to be a big thing. We know that Civil War is going to have Baron Zemo in it.
For sure.
So, now this big Hydra storyline is in play. There's absolutely reason to believe Baron Zemo could be part of whatever Malik and War and Zombie Ward are up to.
Unward.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, untoward.
Oh, God. But people are asking in the chat role what... they're disappointed that we didn't talk more about Fitzsimmons.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean... moving forward, I think there's for Fitzsimmons, I think there's definitely now room. I think both of them are kind of closer than they were before, and
yeah.
I think Simmons legitimately felt like she loved Will, and Fitz and Simmons definitely feel something for each other. So I'm sure there's going to be something that's going to happen between them.
Yeah, and more from the chat roll. Static Quake is the show's official name. That's
Static
not bad.
Quake,
it's pretty
that's
good.
Not bad.
It's pretty good.
I kind of like
But the other thing the chat roll is really talking about is what is going to be the show's influence into Civil War. We know Age of Ultron played this really sly but big part where, like, the movie wasn't directly affected. And we've talked about before about the complications of TV characters going into a film role. But all of that aside, Joe Russo, the director of the Infinity War... one of the co-directors of the Infinity War movies and director of Winter Soldier said that he was remarking on the inclusion of the Defenders in Infinity War, and he said that it's complicated, and he said that films are controlled by the group led by Kevin Feige, while the TV shows, including Netflix and ABC, are controlled by a different group, and that they don't necessarily play together as well as we might think.
Yeah. And I think that's going back to the complications of the contracts of a TV character going into a movie.
Yeah, I think it also comes down to, like, Kevin Feige runs the film. They recently gave him complete control over the film.
Yeah.
And Ike Perlmutter, who was in charge of both, is now just in charge of TV with Feige in charge of film.
Yes. And we also know that Marvel does have like the big like Marvel like MCU like team that meets quite a bit, and I think that'll happen. But again, it's super hard to get a TV character into a movie.
Yeah,
like I mean
it's Disney, so I want them to just like, you've got armies of lawyers, like somebody, I mean, can fill out that paperwork.
It's just the contracts are so like. Yeah,
figure it out. Disney.
If someone can do it, it's Disney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like, just a little thing, like it doesn't need to be big, but like just May being somewhere
would be amazing. Daisy showing up in Civil War.
Yeah, because like, she's a huge power set.
She's part of that Marvel world. Like it would be amazing to see that.
And it would be hard to believe. As Alvin Kara points out, Jeff Loeb does run TV creatively, but there are other people above him, like Perlmutter being one of them, who has a different level of control.
And would probably be the one meeting with Feige and saying, like, how can we help join these?
I'm sure that Jeff Loeb and Kevin Feige get along great, because they're both amazing creatives.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. So, anyway, other big bit of news.
Yeah. We talking about Iron Fist?
Yeah.
Guys,
I'm tossing to you, man.
Iron Fist got announced. You asked me to look it up. I was looking up all the stuff about Hive.
Oh,
my
good
God.
Good thing that cup was empty.
Iron Fist got announced. It's coming to Netflix. Guys, it's happening.
Yeah, it's official. We talked last week about the fact that it was that we had leaks and like everyone confirming, but now they've made it official.
It's
announced. They have a showrunner in place in the form of Scott Buck, who was a showrunner on Dexter.
Yeah. I've heard some stuff about Disney inquiring with like a bunch of Hong Kong opera and like kung fu like choreographers. Like, it looks like Disney's going out and, like, searching for some really good choreographers martial arts stuff.
And what they said is that it's going to pick up with him in New York after the events in Kunlun, where he gets his powers. I imagine we'll get some of it in flashback.
We'll get some flashback.
But that's where we're going to pick up, and I have to imagine that it's going to be the hand that we saw with Madame Gao and Daredevil coming to play here.
It's got to be the hand. Guys, it's got to be the hand. I hope that Immortal Weapons bring like that the Immortal Iron Fist story comes into it. If it does, I'll go crazy. If you're looking for an Iron Fist story to get into, the Immortal Iron Fist is the one to get into. It is the best showcase for his powers and his character. It's an amazing read.
So that's where you know you need to spend those Amazon gift cards that your grandma's going to send you for Hanukkah.
Yeah. And Christmas. But we're two Jewish guys, so Hanukkah. Immortal Iron Fist is where you should start. I am super excited about it. It's going to be a cheesy, awesome kung fu story. It's going to be great. It's going to be so cool.
We already laid our predictions out in this episode, so I think we can forego the formal predictions since we didn't have a preview episode or anything. We predicted the whole time, as we always do.
Yeah,
that's really all we did. But I'm excited for what we're gonna get next in the next half of the season.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you can find us talking Jessica Jones tomorrow at 3 p.m. Wednesday.
Yeah.
Big thing that we're having, if you've been watching the show, Detective Will Simpson's actor Will Travall will be joining us in studio to talk about episodes 11 and 12 of Jessica Jones on Monday, December 14th at 3 p.m. We're very excited.
Super excited to have Will in.
And tomorrow,
we're trying to get Rosemary Rodriguez.
Yes.
And then also we're going to be doing
Agent Carter meantime.
And that'll be with Emma Fife from Jessica Jones. And then also we'll have
Megan Salinas will be here as well. We'll be there. We'll be covering all of Agent Carter starting on January 19th. And then we'll be back with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on March 2nd. I want to say, I thought I wrote it down.
I think it's March 2nd,
You guys know when it's coming back, but we'll be back then with it. Until then, if you can't find us all those places, Jesse.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. And if you live in the Hollywood area, you see me doing live comedy all over the place.
Yeah, thank you guys for joining. Thank you for putting up with the two of us tonight. Send Joyce and Megan your love. Until then, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson, and a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz in the meantime that we already talked about a bunch. Guys, I'm Zach Wilson, and thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.